You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey everybody, welcome to what is a special bonus edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Marcus Grant, joined by Michael F. Florio, and we've been very excited as we get closer to the NFL draft to have on some draft analysts, and we can dive into their insights on this draft class as the league gets ready for its latest edition of its new hire onboarding process. We had Emory Hunt on last week. This week, we're excited to get on a friend of the show and a man who you have seen probably regularly on NFL Network this time of year. And also, if you go to NFL.com and read the draft prospect profiles, he's the guy who writes pretty much all of them. It's Lance Zierlein. Lance, man, how are things?
Good to talk to you guys.
Absolutely. Want to start because, again, NFL.com, you're the guy who kind of writes all these profiles and does a lot of the scouting. Also, you have a grading system, and I was going through some of your tweets, and it seems like the thing that confuses people is sort of how the grading system works, and you completely and can continually tell people it's not a stacking system. It is kind of a high-low boom-or-bust system. So for the uninitiated, kind of go through how exactly you grade prospects.
So Daniel Jeremiah, there was a scouting scale that was already in place when I got here. And then DJ said, you know, I'd like to be able to, because Daniel Jeremiah and I talk about these prospects. And so we like to talk the same language. Like, I see this guy as a 61. I see him as a 62. And that means something to us because he brought in his scouting scale from, I believe there's some different teams who use it right now. I know the Jets use it now. I think when he was with the Ravens or Browns, one of those two, they use this numeric system. And it's there's a lot of teams around the league. And so we just adapted it to NFL.com. And so now, you know, we want to be able to speak the same language. And Bucky understands that. And we like for it to become standard with readers, you know, so that readers eventually understand the scale as well. It's fairly easy to understand. I think the one, if I had to say it was a flaw, I'd say a 65 is a very specific player. It's a boom or bust player. So when you stack them, like in a draft board, if you wanted to stack who you draft, you might actually, a 65, for example, Anthony Richardson, who's like a 65, you would stack him higher than a Jalen Hyatt, who's a 65 that you would have down lower, simply because of the importance of positions, or maybe you just feel some type of way about those guys. You feel like there's a better chance of success for one guy over another. But that's the tricky thing, is a lot of times the 65 players would actually be stacked below a lot of the 6.4 players. And it's, I understand it's counterintuitive. If I had a way to weight it differently, I would. The problem is the draft tracker, the back end reads it as 6.5 greater than 6.4. And so it just stacks it up there. So until I'm, you know, stacking my own big board and posting it on the site, which no one's asked me to do, I'll have to deal with these same things over and over and over. So it looks like I have Jalen Hyatt way, way up there. But the reality is on my stacking, he's down in the late 20s.
And the top of the draft is going to start with a quarterback, it looks like. And every mock has it either being Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. So what separates those two quarterbacks for you?
Well, I mean, I think for me, both of them, I believe, are as game-ready as you're going to find in this year's draft, obviously. One guy doesn't have size. One guy has size. And the more accurate passer is going to be a checkmark to C.J. Stroud. I think when you start working with who is the most game-ready in terms of poise, in terms of reading defenses, that's going to be Bryce Young. Who is the guy who's worked with an NFL coach and Bill O'Brien for the last 2 years, that's Bryce Young. Bryce did it with lesser talent at the skill positions last year than probably any quarterback who's been at Alabama for quite some time. Certainly less less at the skill position than C.J. Stroud did. So I don't think there's a huge gap between the two. I just think Bryce is safer. I think Bryce has all the intangibles you want. I think he has the face of the franchise type demeanor. He's very poised and confident. Now, if we're talking from a fantasy standpoint, and a lot of people don't realize, I've played fantasy football for over 20 years. I was a writer for the Houston Chronicle Fantasy Football. Used to sell fantasy football rankings for about 8 to 10 years. So I always, you know, there's a lot of fantasy football guys who recognize the fact that I'll talk to them differently than the draft picks, because I'll see different players have different values. Like Jahmyr Gibbs has, you know, a much, much different value than Zach Charbonnet for me. I think he's substantially more valuable. So you have to understand, when you read my draft stuff, you're getting football information, how I see these guys, but the fantasy market is a lot different. So from a fantasy market standpoint, I think when you look at where Bryce is likely to go, you know, Bryce is a guy that would concern me fantasy-wise, just because they don't have weapons there that they need. At running back, they lost their best weapon. At wide receiver, they lost their best wide receiver. I think that's a concern for me right now. I think Bryce, obviously, it's not going to work out this year as a statistical year, clearly, as a fantasy quarterback. But I think it could be a little bit bumpier. And C.J. Stroud may end up being the guy who ends up on a team. You know, what if the Raiders were to trade up to 2 or 3 and end up with C.J. Stroud? Even after losing Darren Waller, there's obviously some juice there, running back at slot and outside with Darren Waller. So he could step in and by year two be a factor in fantasy football.
So if we're talking fantasy, I mean, obviously Anthony Richardson is the guy that a lot of people have their eyes on just because of the total package there. I know there are flaws, there are things that need to be worked on, but when you look at him, what is the ceiling for a guy like Richardson?
Well, I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, it's extraordinarily high. And, you know, I remember when it was, 10, 11 years ago doing fantasy ratings, and you just kept coming back to these guys who could run a little bit, like Kaepernick's fantasy. You had to, even though the passing was one thing and you might not see a lot of touchdown passes, the yards rushing are just such a big equalizer. And obviously it's very much a known quantity now with more and more quarterbacks having some dual threat capabilities. But when you look at Josh Allen, when you look at Jalen Hurts, you know, you don't have to throw. Jalen didn't have 30 touchdown passes like Josh did. And so Jalen did a lot of it with his legs. Obviously, Justin Fields, who was not a good passer this year, very valuable, especially for a stretch in a fantasy world. So when you look at Anthony Richardson, I think as soon as he hits the field, he'll have some boom or bust fantasy. But you just can't deny the fact that he's probably going to run for touchdowns in short yardage situations. He's going to be able to scramble and get yardage there. And he's got a big arm. So if he gets with the right team, he may miss some throws. But if they let him cut it loose, he can end up throwing for some big long touchdowns as well. So I think from a fantasy standpoint, there actually is going to be more fantasy value in Anthony Richardson than Bryce Young. It's just a matter of what gets put around them both. But from just how they play the game, Anthony Richardson, I don't have to tell you guys clearly, I think would have the most fantasy value potentially in this entire draft.
Completely agree with you there. And from, I guess, both from an NFL perspective and from a fantasy perspective, Bijan is the number one running back. We know that. But outside of Bijan, who is your favorite running back for both real life and for fantasy?
Yeah, I think Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs, my comp on him is Alvin Kamara. He is a really dangerous mismatch weapon coming out of the backfield, whether he's running, you know, if he's running angle routes, or if he is running wheel routes, or if he comes out in motion and ends up in the slot and you've got to walk somebody over him to guard him because he can run routes. He's very good after the catch. He's got good hands. So Jahmyr Gibbs to me, fantasy football wise and real life football, I think Jahmyr is not going to be a guy who's going to be a volume carry running back, but on a team that has a creative play caller and understands the mismatch potential, I think he'll be very, very valuable. There's no reason that he shouldn't get, I mean, a much more consistently dangerous version of, I'm trying to remember, the running back from NC State who was just with the Colts.
Naheem Hines,
there we go. Thank you very much. I've watched so many football players, like, I blank out players all the times now because I'm like, okay, which running back from North Carolina State is it again? And so Nyheim Hines. So I think he could be a much more dangerous version of Nyheim Hines. He has very good speed. He has some breakaway potential. He's probably not going to get more than, you know, 8 to 10 carries in a single game, but he could also get 5 to 6 catches fairly easily. So when you add it all up, he has the opportunity to hit a lot of chunk plays from a percentage of touches.
Yeah, you mentioned Jahmyr Gibbs, and you compared him just briefly to Zach Charbonnet, who's a guy that, you know, I, being out here on the West Coast and being in LA, saw a lot of at UCLA. I mean, does his game translate to the next level? Maybe not immediately in fantasy, but do you see him as a guy who could be successful at the NFL level?
Yeah, I do, but I think it needs to be in the right scheme. And here's my problem with him, and it's the same thing I had with Derrick Henry. He has to be in a certain type of offense. Like, you have to have him probably in an outside zone offense where he's lined up as an eye back, not offset, because he's got long legs. It takes him a while to get him moving. He doesn't stop and start very quickly as a runner. When you make him slow his feet, it's hard for him to ramp back up very, very quickly. He's long-legged, and he's not as explosive and twitchy out of those stops. So what you need to do, just like was the case with Derrick Henry, is you put him in an eye back and you let him run outside zone and you let him get downhill, get it at the mesh point where he's already got the legs rolling a little bit, and then you let him build up momentum. I think A.J. Dillon has some of that same thing as well, where he needs that same kind of style. So I think he can definitely be effective in the NFL and be a good player. I just think he's going to be kind of scheme dependent in terms of the running scheme. That's one of the things that is going to be important, is making sure he's in a scheme that for me is more outside zone impacted, and maybe even having a quarterback play under center a little bit more, or out of a pistol.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And what are your overall thoughts on this year's wide receiver class? I know it doesn't compare to the last couple of years that have really spoiled us, but your thoughts on the class as a whole. And I know we don't know landing spots yet, but is there anyone that you think will be better in fantasy right away than the rest?
I would say, you know, I do think Jalin Hyatt is really potentially a dangerous fantasy option, because, you know, you could see the Chiefs saying, hey, let's have Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Jalin Hyatt outside and see what teams do against that, because then you're going to have to – your safeties basically are going to have to play over the top of both corners, and the running game will go crazy. I think in terms of a guy who could come out very, very quickly, I'll tell you a name that a lot of teams like is Nathaniel Tank Dell from University of Houston. He's very light, but he is a touchdown maker. He has great feet around the end zone. He's unguardable, so you could see him playing in the slot and being able to get open for choice routes. A lot of targets for Tank Dell. I don't think he'll go. He could go in a second. I think he could somewhere between late second and mid third is where he'll go. I think Marvin Mims is another one from Oklahoma who has some juice down the field and might be able to hit some big plays. Those are two guys you need to look for. And Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers, to me, where he could end up going in terms of the spot, I think Zay Flowers can end up with a good team, a good offense, and has a chance to be someone who can really take off. Now, Smith and Jigba, I like the opportunity for him to become a high-volume target from the slot. I think the problem is the teams who could be looking at him, it may be a little bit slower start, but a team that, you know, you might want to keep an eye on number 13, the Jets, because if the Jets go big with fast with Garrett Wilson outside, and then big with Lazard, and then you go slot with Jaxon Smith-Njigba, that now all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers has a variety of ways to hurt you. And if Aaron Rodgers is indeed the quarterback, which I think he's going to be the quarterback, the Jets may just say, look, we're trying to win a Super Bowl. We already know we got to go up against either the Bengals or Chiefs potentially. So we need to ramp this car up as quickly as possible. Let's put premium gas in it. Let's get three targets that will work well with Aaron Rodgers right off the bat, because we don't know how long we're going to have him. And let's try to see what we can do right now. So I think Smith and Jigba, if he goes obviously to the Jets, look out, because that's just a matter of, you know, who does Aaron Rodgers like the most? Because once he really likes you, I mean, he really, really likes you. So he's kind of a wild card. But as you guys know, it really depends on where you end up. But if you're looking for a guy that other people aren't looking for, I would say Nathaniel Tank Dell, Cedric Tillman, Marvin Mims, and Jonathan Mingo are the guys that I would look at.
You know, you mentioned JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba. I know you said after the combine, you had to sort of reevaluate. And I feel like you're not the only person. Was it just him being away, being hurt for most of the year? Or was it just the offense at Ohio State? I feel like a lot of people just kind of not forgot about him. But, you know, we had to kind of take a second look. Is there a reason we feel like we had to do that?
Yeah, well, I can only speak for me. I know that his last six games were some of the most devastating performances in 2021 that you've ever seen. I mean, it was just unbelievable numbers he was putting up. I think for me personally, you know, he didn't do a whole lot to start the year off, and then he had the injury and he didn't come back. And, you know, you start to say, well, could he have come back and he decided not to, which rubs you the wrong – you understand it, but you want to see him be a competitor. I mean, Cedric Tillman got a surgery on his high ankle sprain because he wanted to go out and compete for a national championship. So you could let that play in there. For me, really, for me, I just wondered how fast he was. I didn't think he always looked fast on tape. And I really thought that – I really questioned whether or not he could separate and get open. That was my biggest concern. But when I was at the combine and on the ground looking at him, he's getting out of his breaks with sharp cuts, and he's explosive out of the breaks. Like, I can see it. And I can see him stacked up against other wide receivers, so it becomes really apparent how much better he is than other guys. Then he runs a great short shuttle and a great three cone, which shows short area quickness and explosiveness out of breaks. And then he runs well at his combine. So he ended up checking a speed box for me that I needed to see, because I was worried he was going to be in the 4.6s. So he checked the speed box. He checked the quickness and acceleration box. And then I actually saw him on the field running routes. And that was good enough for me. So that's why I moved back up. Because I never had a doubt about the competitiveness, the catch competitiveness, the strong hands, the ball skills. All that was already there. There was some physical athletic stuff that I needed to see. And once he checks the boxes, well, I got no choice but to move him up, because now, you know, the athletic profile also matches the production.
And you did a good job naming some sleeper wide receivers. Obviously, landing spot is going to greatly matter, especially when we get past day one. But are there any deeper running backs that if they fall to a favorable spot that you feel like a fantasy manager should know these names?
Yeah, I do. I would say I would start with let's start with Israel Abenaconda from Pitt. He is a home run hitter. He is a big running back at 215 pounds. He's very fast. I'm going to see if I can find his – I don't think he ran at the combine, so I'm going to see what he ran at his pro day really quickly. Ran a 4.44, had a 41-inch vertical leap and a 10.8 broad jump, which is not a surprise. Those are unbelievably explosive numbers. And he is an explosive guy at 5'10", 217, ran a 4.44. He has a lot of long touchdowns this year, and he was a former track guy in college. So he's an outside zone runner. He runs hard. So that's a guy that I would tell you, I think he's going to be a third round, maybe a fourth round running back. He's somebody to me that I like a lot, and I would keep an eye on him. I think he has more of a 2-3 talent, honestly, when it's all said and done. So Israel Abenaconda from Pitt is one name. I would say another guy that I keep an eye on would be, let's go Tank Bigsby from Auburn is another one, although he's not going to catch a lot of passes for you. So that's, you know, that would play against him. I think Eric Gray from Oklahoma is a very good runner. He's very good in pass protection. So that means he could get on the field in third down situations. So anytime you have a guy who can get potential three down snaps, helps you a lot. And I'm going to give you a name. This guy is a touchdown-making machine. He has some injuries in his background, but you look at James Conner and what James Conner's done, you should probably also look at Muhammad Ibrahim from Minnesota. This guy was destroying Ohio State at the beginning of the 2021 year, and then he tore his knee in the game itself, came back from the ACL tear. And, I mean, now, look, he was getting 30, 35 carries a game. It was insane. I mean, they just strapped on the feed bag and said, go to work in those games. But his ability to run for hard yardage, he's a really great short yardage back. So a guy who could be a designated touchdown maker would be potentially Muhammad Ibrahim, and he's a player who's not going to get drafted until day three. So you're going to be looking, I think, fourth round at the earliest, much better chance of going in the fifth round. And yet he has real touchdown potential right out of the gate, and he's a very, very tough runner. So that's a guy that I would keep an eye on that may fly under the radar, because most teams I talk to recognize the fact that he's a really good back. He just, you know, he's not the fastest guy, and he has had an injury in his background, a knee injury. So something to keep an eye on.
Everybody's talked about how deep this tight end class is here. Now, the one thing for fantasy is we know it doesn't always translate immediately. A lot of times it takes some guys a couple, 3 years to kind of get acclimated to the game. But if there was somebody that you see in this group that could make an impact, you know, in the first year or two, who would it be?
Which position did you say?
Tight end.
I think right away it would be Dalton Kincaid. Dalton Kincaid, really, out of all the tight ends, I mean, Michael Mayer is going to be solid. He's going to be solid, but I think he's going to have a hard time. I think he's going to have to learn to separate. He's going to have to learn some tricks. Dalton Kincaid is just sneaky. He's a really sneaky route runner. For me, I think that Dalton Kincaid, with his hands, with his ability as a route runner, with his savvy and moxie in terms of getting open and being a high-volume target over the years at Utah, I think he just makes a lot of sense to be the first one to click. So if you're looking for a tight end this year right out of the gate to click quickly, the guy I would point to would be Dalton Kincaid. I think Michael Mayer is going to have to, like I said, it's going to take him a little bit longer to really get open, other than, you know, having some games where he has four catches for 45 yards, you know, maybe a touchdown here or there. I think Mayer is just going to – it's not going to click for him right away. Darnell Washington, I wouldn't say. Luke Musgrave just hasn't played a lot of football, but he's got a really high upside for me. And the rest of the guys I look at, I like. I think it's a very deep class. But to your question, Mark, I think Dalton's the only one that I would point to as a guy who potentially could be a factor on rosters this year.
And you mentioned some sleeper wide receivers before, but you didn't mention Michael Wilson out of Stanford. And he's someone that has caught my eye. I think he can play. He just hasn't been able to stay on the field. Do you think that he could make an impact at the NFL level, or do you not see that happening?
I do. I think, you know, to me, I compare him to Mac Hollins a little bit. He's a really excellent special teams player, really good gunner. So he'll be playing right away. He'll be a gunner on special teams on the punt team. Mac Hollins also had really good speed. Michael Wilson can run. Certainly when he plays really fast. So, you know, I think he just has to learn to catch it better. You mentioned the availability has been an issue in terms of his durability. And, you know, honestly, I think that there's better sleepers out there. I'll give you another one, a deeper sleeper that you can look at. And then these are pretty deep. These are like fifth round guys. I think Michael Wilson goes fourth round. But Jaden Reed, who a lot of people like from Michigan State, is a guy to keep an eye on. I think he goes in the fourth, fifth. And then a guy named Jason Brownlee and Matt Landers. Brownlee from Southern Miss. Matt Landers from Arkansas. Matt Landers, to me, is the one guy really to keep your eyes on, because he's got some size. And I thought he was really a tough guy when he caught passes this year. I thought he was highly competitive. So Matt Landers might be a guy to keep your eyes on. And then a guy's getting a lot of 30 visits that I didn't like as much, but some teams may like him more, is Rakeem Jarrett from Maryland. He had some juice coming into the season, wasn't as good as I expected, but there are teams bringing him in for 30 visits. So Rakeem Jarrett is a player you might want to keep an eye on as well.
Lance, always appreciate your time. Appreciate your insight. You're down there in Houston. Any thoughts on what the Texans might be doing in the first round of this draft?
Yeah, I think there's a decent chance they'll pass on. If they get a good trade offer. I mean, what they should be doing is looking at Trey Lance, but I don't think the 49ers deal Trey Lance. Just too much uncertainty right now at quarterback for them. So I don't think they will. You know what would be a fun fantasy trade to me with Brock Purdy being hurt is Trey Lance to the Titans in exchange for Ryan Tannehill. I think that might make sense for both teams to get the young quarterback that Rand Carthen, the new GM, already knows, and then San Francisco to have a one-year stopgap for Brock Purdy, and you've got a guy who, you know, should be able to run the offense fairly effectively in Tannehill. I think that's an interesting one. For the Texans, that's kind of an aside, but for the Texans, I think right now if I had to guess, I would guess they end up going defense. I think they may pass on C.J. Stroud. If they don't, C.J. stepping into what I think will end up being a pretty good situation, maybe not this year right away, but I think it will get better very, very quickly for him. If they pass on quarterback, then I don't think they're going to trade up and go after Levis or Richardson. I think they are punting on the quarterback position altogether. So, or at least in the first round, that is. They may go middle round quarterback. That wouldn't surprise me.
Wow, do they put themselves in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes then if they punt on it this year?
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to lose enough to be in the Caleb. I think there's some juice around D'Amico Ryans. I think guys are going to really want to play. I expect him. They had some games that went the wrong way against them last year to end up with the third pick with three wins. And I could see some games going in their favor this year, winning five or six games. You win five or six games, you're not in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes or Drake May sweepstakes. So – five wins is almost too much wins, and I don't think that the Texans want to keep losing. I really don't. But I think Young owners is there. Are tired of it, and I can tell you fans are tired of it.
If Young is there at two, is that the pick for them?
Oh, yeah, Young for sure. Like, if there was some kind of crazy break from what people believe is going to happen, if Young's there, they can just scream it out. Like, somebody in the building can just scream out, Young, like that, and it's done. It's like fantasy football where you have a guy in a snake draft, just boom. Or somebody in an auction who just says, all right, Christian McCaffrey, 58. And everyone's like, well, that's – okay, well, I guess that's done.
Man, well, Lance, we appreciate the time. Always looking forward to it. I know you're going to be in L.A. for the draft, so looking forward to maybe catching up with you in person. But thanks
That'd
a lot,
be great.
Man. Yeah, appreciate it, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Love catching up and talking fantasy. I do draft, but – the fantasy part of the draft to me is a completely separate, like, that's a different conversation for me.
No doubt. So definitely maybe we get closer to the season and catch you again sometime. Get your thoughts.
That sounds good. Love to do it.
Awesome. Appreciate it. That's Lance Zierlein, everybody. That'll do it for this edition, this bonus edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. Stay happy, safe, and healthy. Do good and live well. We'll talk to you again real soon.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.